Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, part friendly panel show, part vicious competition, where contestants fight with their best anecdotes on mystery topics generated through a trusty bingo ball. I'm Vince Layton, host of the show, spirit of the bingo balls, and games master. Points will be awarded for originality, amusement value, and my general caprice and mood on the day. The contestant with the most points at the end of the game wins, but their opponents will be granted a few cheat codes along the way, just to keep it interesting. Welcome to the Comedy Arcade. It's a very exciting episode. I've got three brilliant comedians, but also entrepreneurs, because they all run their own comedy clubs individually. It's exciting. Helen's looking really confused. Helen Bauer. Remember Giggles? You do that. You do Giggles every week. I've seen you.
Yeah, but Catherine Bohart runs it. I'm just there for the shouting, I guess.
Precisely why we've booked you. Helen Bauer is here to do shouting for us.
I think I'm genuinely on Giggles, just they've got some like diversity, because otherwise everyone's a lesbian. So like, oh, let's get a stupid straight girl on. And I'm like, oh, good.
And you're foreign as well, there. You've got the German side of it. You can add that.
Oh, yeah, na klar, yeah. So a bit of German, a bit of straightness. That's what everyone wants.
You want to start talking in an accent more. You'll get on the telly a lot more.
Do you think?
Definitely.
German accent, though? Yeah. I don't think.
Works for Henning.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen him for a while.
Okay, I'm going to do this whole thing in German now, just based on Matt's comedy promotion recommendation, okay?
It's going to be a brilliant experience for us and the listeners.
Guys.
The voice you heard encouraging the new German slant that we're taking was the lovely Matt Brown. How are you? Are you well?
Hello. Yeah, I'm very well, thank you, Vix. Are you?
Oh, well, you can't complain, can you? It feels less and less like I might die an untimely death, so that's good news, you know.
Well, that's something,
Coming out the other side of this now, aren't we?
Well, let's see. You know, you never know, do you? But, you know, the thing is, you've got to look at how the self-improvement has helped, you know. Over the year, the past, what is it, 14 months, I've gone from drinking one bottle of wine to three bottles of wine a day now. So, that's commitment.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Genuinely impressive as well.
Thank you very much.
Bauer loved it.
I know I'm a wine drinker, and three bottles is genuinely hard to get down. It is because you can't down wine. You can, but it's
you
very
can
difficult to continue after downing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well done.
Thanks. Yeah. It's been a lot of hard work this year.
It's good to set targets and achieve them.
Absolutely.
And we have the brilliant Essex King, Ross McGrane. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Vix. How are you?
I'm good. What have you got in your mug?
That is tea, actually. Oh, is that okay. WKD you're drinking as an Essex King, as you put it? That is
No, for the audience at home, I've got a bright blue cocktail called a Corpse Reviver.
Corpse Reviver.
A Corpse Reviver, yep, because Monday is hard.
I still think it's a WKD. Blue though, you're right. Like, I say it's a cocktail by putting a bit of lime in it, but it's still a WKD.
It is. It's an aniseed WKD. I've been overcharged. I've been East Londonified. I'm like, if I just say it enough, it becomes true. I love a WKD blue. The sugar does things to me.
Okay.
Right. So you all claim that you've read the rules of the game. So let's just crack on. Oh no, Muff's shaking his head. Don't worry. Few have before.
You said I can wing it.
Yes, you can. It doesn't mean you should.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I read the rules.
I am also relying on the winging of it.
If I lose now, can you imagine how embarrassing that's going to be after I've read the rules?
I did read the rules. That was a bit fib, but I didn't prepare anything.
This is episode 29, and I'm going to level with you. We're finishing episode 30 for season one. These rules aren't surviving in season two.
Oh, well, there you go.
they're not progressing to the next stage. They're not going to judges' houses. Anyway, the category is drunk behaviour. Who has got a story on that?
Yeah, I've got a story on that. And I was 19 years old. So it's going back a bit. I'm now 46. Yeah, 46. And I didn't really drink then because I was pretty much a professional footballer. So I didn't really have any tolerance that I've got now. but I went to on a Sunday afternoon to a local pub with a girlfriend at the time and drinking with her dad and her cousin. And I had about 6 pints of Guinness. I'd never drunk Guinness before. And I mean, it would have taken me a pint and a half of any lager then just to get drunk. I had 6 pints of Guinness, and they thought it was hilarious, as you do. But I ended up staying at their house. And what actually happened is during the night, I went for a sleepwalk and ended up going for a wee whilst having a sleepwalk. But the place that I was weeing was in her parents' bedroom and her parents whilst they were in bed.
How long did that relationship last after that?
It still went on for a little bit. Like, her dad found it, her mum found it hilarious. Her dad was annoyed, but then found it funny the next day.
Did they wake up at the time?
I woke up to them screaming, and then just turned and ran and got back into bed and pretended it didn't happen. And then woke up at like 5 in the morning, just left. I thought, I'm never ever going back. And then, you know, at the time, the girlfriend at the time phoned me up and said, they think it's hilarious. Don't worry about it.
And, wow.
You were so lucky they found that funny.
It was mortifying. To this day, it's still mortifying for me.
Were they from Essex? Because, I mean, that is par for the course where I'm from.
quite posh. It's from Dorking, Surrey. So they're actually quite posh people as well. It's a nice big house. Clearly out of my league. And, yeah, to this day, I don't drink Guinness for that reason. I'll have one and that's it.
Just triggered the memory of this coming back to you.
Ironically, you had several bathrooms in the house you could have chosen from.
True. Or other members of the family.
Was that the first time you've met them?
No. I've known them for, 6 months or so.
Oh, that's all right then.
Yeah, it's nicer when it's more personal when you're pissing on someone, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
You don't want to do the introduction, but when you know each other a bit, it's kind of like taking the relationship to a new level, really.
Intimate. It's an intimacy, a special intimacy. has anyone got an advance on that story?
I thought I had a drunk story, but now I've heard that one. I genuinely, I want to just jump out of a window and just, quit already. I thought mine was embarrassing, and now I'm like, I've clearly lived a very sheltered life. I've definitely got so drunk I've missed a toilet whilst in fact I did actually use a urinal one time when I was drunk, which women can do, and I will stand by that to this day. I want us to accept that women can piss in urinals, and then we'll fight for equal pay. I just want to focus on the topics of that.
a trough based one or an individual urinal?
An individual one. I had to really press myself against the wall, but it was arty. My drunk story.
How did you find yourself in a toilet with a urinal?
Oh, classic. Queue's too long for the ladies, no one's in the men's. And then just that moment of when in Rome.
Yeah.
I have a question. Did you do it front ways or...
Ross, don't do this to yourself, mate.
No, let him ask his questions. Front ways, obviously. I sort of... pressed myself against the wall and then was just piss straight down, which is you can decide as a woman, but I was picturing a waterfall, and it was successful.
Well, but the thing is, you can't tell because all the men's toilets are always constantly covered in piss on the floor anyway.
Yeah. Why are you bothering to even aim it at that point?
I would know if it was my piss on the floor, because boys' piss is blue and girls' piss is pink, right? Mine would have glitter everywhere. I'm so sad. sad is that's not even my drug story.
Right, come on.
Just a little bit of like, I once pissed in a urinal. But like, I think always drunk stories always goes to body liquids. We've done piss now. So I'm going to do vomit. I'm a real drunken vomiter. Like, even when I know the next drink will be a vomit, if anything, I just push it further because then I've got more room for the kebabs. Because like, I'm someone who drinks to get drunk so I can drunk eat. That's the main aim of it, of the night. Because I love that feeling of like, calories don't count and it's melting in my mouth and meat's just...
It tasted better.
But I was like, felt the vomit coming, but I was in a conversation with a guy and I was like 21 and like so in love with him. And I'd been like stalking for like a year. Like, I just knew his work schedule. Do you know what I mean? And we were like in a really intense conversation, trauma bonding. So I was like, I can't leave this. And then I wanted to seem cute. So I was like, oh, I feel like I'm going to vomit, but maybe I can just get away with a cough and release some air almost. So I raised my hand like a lady would. And I coughed, but as I coughed, the vomit came up, but it hit my hand with such force that it bounced back into my face. Like I was high-fiving my own sick. And then, I don't know, I'm not a natural chooser of dignity, but for me, the moment felt like there was a chance he hadn't noticed. Despite the fact I was covered. So I just continued the conversation.
Oh, no!
Like, oh, so you're from Suffolk originally. Cute. Like...
I love that energy. He had noticed, though. Did that go any further?
Yeah. No, he noticed. Oh, yeah, no, then I waited another 6 months, got drunk, professed my love for him, and then he was like, no, absolutely not. And I was like, fair play, actually, fair play. Yeah, it's been a long way.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me ask, where did I lose you? Was it when I was sick into my own hands and washed my face with it and then carried on? Can I just ask you, fill in a feedback form for me? Was there any shot before that?
Did you walk into the toilets when you were in there?
Was I?
Did you walk into the toilets when you were in there?
Fuck you!
What a follow-up that would have been, though.
Oh, God, I can't believe it. You know, big Helen who pisses in the urinals and vomits in her face, she fancies me. I think I'm going to give that a go. Here she comes. Like, yeah, he missed out.
I've never fancied you more. Ross, what about you?
Mine, I mean, doesn't involve bodily fluids.
Good.
It does involve a celebrity. So I feel like that garners some extra points. I was at V Festival a few years back in a professional capacity. I was the spare act for the comedy tent, which is as glamorous as it sounds. I was there in case one of the other acts did a Helen Bauer and puked into her own hand and couldn't go on stage. And,
she would have gone on.
I got to bring a plus one with me, and I said to the plus one, like, you know, we got backstage passes, but we can't be all like showboat. We've got to look like we belong here. We can't be like, you know, talking to famous people and getting autographs and stuff. Fast forward about 6 hours, and I was shit faced in the cocktail bar. I managed to convince Craig David to call in sick from work for me for the following day. Blagging that I had to help him with his tech rehearsal. And that is the gospel truth. And do you know what? He fucking did it, mate.
That's good.
Did you help him with his tech the next day? Or did you just use him?
My mate told me what had happened the next day. I figured it was bullshit. And then I found out. I mean, he rang him on a Tuesday.
I was waiting for that.
Well, what happened? Were you friends after that? Have you ever told Craig David about this?
No, I mean, the memory is patchy, but I think I was I was doing the opposite of what I'd told my mates to do and just being particularly like, oh, you got to ring, you should ring up my boss, you should ring him up. Like, another caveat is I was actually mates with the bloke I was supposed to be working with as well. And I felt like this was the best way to say, I haven't got shit-faced, I'm genuinely doing something quite exciting and important. And have Craig David, the fucking legend, to ring my boss and say...
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
What was your job you were doing the next day? It wasn't like paramedic or delivering life-saving organs, was it?
Well, I actually worked for the police force. I was a special... No, I'm joking.
We've already had pro footballer, I was prepared to believe. You were all so fascinating.
It's nothing that exciting. I worked for a glass company. We made glass whiteboards that were also magnetic. Because yeah, the comedy was going really well, guys, at that time. Yeah.
Hey, you were first reserve.
Believe it or not, being a spare act doesn't pay as well as you'd think it does.
And wasn't the point of being a spare act that you're supposed to remain sober the whole day just in case you do need to jump on stage?
Well, yes, but... This was after I knew that the last two acts of the day had arrived and were, in fact, sober and ready to go on. And then my drinking went from Carlsberg to... the little cocktails that you get in VIP sections. I've never been in a VIP section in my life. Aww. I was like, whatever they're drinking, I'll have six of them.
There's nothing like the sweet release. I don't know if you guys ever did Jonglers, but I hated every one of those gigs. And the only time I enjoyed it is when I was a spare and the last act turned up. It's like, yes, I'm home.
I really wanted to go on, but I'm actually glad in a way that I didn't, because I never would have had that longing chat with Craig David and got him to call in sick for me the next day.
Could be the start of something. You don't know. You might meet him one day in a VIP area and be like, Craig, remember me?
He is playing Southend soon. He's doing a gig in the summer and I'm planning on going
down there. You've got to go. Yeah, you have.
I've got to do it, haven't I?
Yeah. Offer your services as a tech person. Oh, this is going to be a beautiful story. Sell it into the South End Echo. We need to make this happen.
Oh, 1 second, Matt's gone to go piss on someone else.
No, I can't. I'm just about to lose batteries, so I have to plug it in.
Oh, here we go.
Apologies.
Right, let's go. Let's go into the next category. Wow, what a start. And the category is family rituals. What are your weird family rituals? They don't have to be weird. They could just be funny.
I don't know whether it's a ritual, but when I was a kid and we'd go on like the family holiday every year, my dad was one of these dads that, you know, you have to arrive 2 hours before a flight. Yeah. He'd arrive like several hours before the flight just to be safe. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was this whole family ritual during the holiday of getting all our cases ready and then getting to the... We once got to Alicante Airport, obviously Alicante.
Oh, I love Alicante. Flying. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if you've ever been to Alicante Airport.
So much to do.
Fuck all in it. There's nothing there, is there? So we got there. It was 6.5 hours early for the flight, which was then delayed by 4 hours. And when we arrived, he hadn't booked the taxi. He booked the taxi like the later in the afternoon, so we had to wait. So we had to wait at Alicante Airport for ages. And I was smoking at the time, and they didn't know I was smoking. I've given up now. I'm on the vape, don't you know? Craig David convinced me to give up.
It's a beautiful chat before you were sick into your own hands and hoped you hadn't noticed.
It sounds ideal though, mate. To be honest with you, I'm jealous because my family holidays, if I'd have had 10 hours in an airport, I'd have been overjoyed.
Well, I mean, both my parents smoked, and this is the clincher, right? So they both smoked. We were in both airports for a considerable amount of time. And when we got to the villa, eventually unloaded all our stuff, got ready, and it's evening time now, so we went out for a dinner, a Chinese, obviously.
You're
in Spain, you got to, yeah.
So after 24 hours of not being able to smoke and not being able to hide anywhere to smoke or anything, we had our meal, and my dad was like, look, me and your mum know you're smoking, go on, have a fag. And I didn't know whether to fucking hug him or punch him in the face at that stage.
So they let you survive through these hours and hours of delay.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like it. What a troll. I'm into it.
I want to know why Math would have wanted to spend that long in the airport now.
Because my childhood holidays were literally Cornwall or Devon. Never didn't see an airport till I was 16.
Oh, no. With family or on a lads trip?
16, no, that was with, what did I do? I went to Paris with my nan.
Oh, the most romantic city in the world. Oh, my
nan. Just the two of you? Or?
No, nan and granddad. But yeah.
You put a lock on the bridge. We'll come back here one day. Well, next year probably, because you know time's ticking up. Yeah. Fucking hell!
Do you have to take the lift up the tower?
I'm not answering that. No comment.
Well, we've learned some things already, haven't we, Helen? Yeah. What were your family holidays like?
A Okay, very different. Like, we did do Alicante for like 3-4 years when I was a teenager. But before that, my parents, very liberal, very like, not like Disneyland holidays, but very like learning. So by the time I was 12, I'd been to about 4 or 5 deaf camps. Thanks for asking. 10 years old, Changi Prison, Singapore, Japanese prisoner of war camp with an interactive experience where they turn off all the lights and you get screamed at in Japanese. I really get to get into the shoes of being a Japanese prisoner of war. I can tell you now, not good. A lot of battlefields, a lot of old trenches. My Disneyland was riding the Kobe earthquake simulator at the Science Museum at the weekends. And that makes it sound like we grew up super smart because our parents were trying to make us smart and they just fucked it. I don't know how it happened. It wasn't like they weren't trying to ensure that we were like, Dad works in Seward, my mum's learning support assistant. They were trying to make us super like intelligent and it didn't work. It's such a shame. But yeah, very different holidays. I'd say our family ritual was like, let's go see somewhere where loads of people were killed and scar the children.
Harrowing.
Yeah, that was the vibe. But I
love it. It's okay. You became a comedian because that's anyone what you do with trauma like that.
For fun? No.
Yeah.
Okay, me neither. Me neither. Gross.
No, I went with my in-laws, my husband, to Sachsenhausen, which
Sachsenhausen in Berlin. Yeah, can I?
Yeah. And we booked the big camp bar for afterwards because we thought we'd need something to look forward to. Yeah, you can't go from the concentration camp to the Umpa. It's too sharp a gradient. It was like 5 of the saddest people in the world.
And also that's such a creepy death camp because it was like the first one and the longest one running. Like it didn't close down until the 70s. Like it's so creepy.
It's so horrible. And it felt like one of those things that people want to do, but because you feel like you should, but it was it was a bit of a buzzkill as a holiday destination. I mean, I learned a lot of stuff.
I think I genuinely rather spend the day at Auschwitz and then go to a beer garden than spend 10 hours with Ross's family at Alicante Airport, though.
Yeah,
that sounds mad. That's like, I'd rather go through a horrific Holocaust experience and be with his family at Alicante, but I stand by it. Yeah.
I would. Yeah. Watching my dad smoke Lambert and Butler after Lambert and Butler when all you want is a Lambert and Butler.
So, yeah, Alicante, concentration camps, or Paris with your nan. Which one? Choose your weapon. Right. Well, again, we've learned something in this round. Was it funny? We don't know. We don't know.
I mean, I found their stories very funny. Yeah. But Paris with my nan is just too much.
I'll tell you what, if anything else comes out of this, that is the title of my next Edinburgh show.
We've done that for stand-up though, right? Going to Paris with
your nan. Oh, no. You must. Yeah, you must.
That's an easy 10 minutes. Like, right.
I'll be writing it this evening, so thank you very much for your time.
Please do, it's a dream.
There we go. You weren't sure what new material you had for Outside the Box. You could do this. You're welcome. Right. I'm a bit scared of this. The category is inappropriate crushes.
Inappropriate crushes.
Yeah. Esther Manito said Michael Barrymore, just to give you an idea of the level.
You freaking kidding?
Michael Barrymore? She absolutely likes a tall man in a suit, she said. Oh my
God. He was a dashing, very funny entertainer before, you know, the killing of the gay man.
Before the pool, yeah.
Before the pool, the alleged killing of the gay man that was never proven.
I kind of know what Esther means though. That there's something about like entertainers on TV when you were younger, like Noel Edmonds, like his relationship with Blobby. I was always like, what a nice man. Like,
his relationship.
I think I fancied him. Well, I always thought of Blobby as sort of like a lovely like special needs sidekick, and I was like, what a lovely man hiring someone.
A father and son situation.
Yeah, it was kind of like that, wasn't it? And it was just like
endlessly patient with the man in the costume.
It's really hard to see. I don't know if I have an inappropriate crush that was like famous, but over the years since I was 10 to now at 30, I fall in love exclusively with gay men or men who 100% don't like me back, so I can like fulfill my own tragic narrative. And I'd say it's inappropriate for a 6'1" straight woman to be begging gay men on pretty much every night out, being like, but why wouldn't it work? We've got such fun personalities. We both love Disney.
Just a kiss. See how it feels.
Yeah. And then we'll sing Beauty and the Beast. Why wouldn't it work?
You might both like Disney, but you both like Dick. That's where he's going to go wrong.
I've got long labia lips. I have said this to so many guys. I am willing to stretch and fashion into the dick of your choice.
Is that why you found it so easy to piss in a urinal?
Good Lord. Is it like a dog chasing a car, though? What would you do if one of these people liked you back? Do you think you just run away?
Because I've met a couple of guys that fancy me, and they are fucked up, like really, like wrong, like wrong. very tricky balance. Yeah,
so yep. Michael Barrymore, and now this. Math, you look like a man that's fancied somebody inappropriately before. I'm just gonna let it stand. I'm not gonna explain it. I'm just gonna let it stand.
I
had this weird thing when I was growing up, I suppose. I never ever had a crush on anyone famous, because in my mind it would just never happen. So I thought, what's the bother wasting all that energy fancying? I did fancy Patsy Kensit when I was young. I was
good choice.
Yeah, I was really young though. I'd probably be, I don't know, 12 or something, 13 maybe. But I suppose it is inappropriate because I was 12 and she was an adult. So we could class that as inappropriate, I'd imagine, yeah.
Very good. I was talking to Ben Vanderbilt on his podcast about the Cadbury's bunny from the caramel advert.
Oh, yeah.
That was a sexy bunny.
Yeah. And the fruit and nut bar that was a bit predatory. She was...
I don't know the bar.
No. You should Google that. She was a dirty little chocolate bar, that one.
She was a sexy lady. Like, I was in M&M World the other day because apparently that's essential shopping. It's fucking immense. And mainly because my friend's going out with one of the M&Ms, so sick.
Sakisa, she told us.
Exactly, yeah. Okay, good. It's okay. Sakisa's going out with the M&Ms. Well, guy, and
I asked her, I was like, does he take the costume home? And she's like, why? I was like, I don't know.
That's a good question. But if you go up to him, he'll give you free salted caramel M&Ms, which are lush. They've got a character that's really sexy, the girl M&M, who's green. She is fit, like super fit. And then they've added in two more characters, one of which has definitely got depression and one that's got anxiety, because they're both like just such a weird marketing choice. Like, got the fit one, now we need to cover mental health. And then the red and the yellow one, the main characters are just like sexually promiscuous.
Yeah.
Like, always fucking someone else in a bed, like a human.
That's true.
I didn't question it for years, and then it just hit me one day that it's like, how are they fucking and why are they always doing that? Like,
It's like coming across them in the bed with the wife. It's like, what were they doing? What were they doing in there? Kind of weird cannibalism.
Oh my God.
There he is.
That's one of the like the proper fucky ones.
Yeah,
that's
look at his hair. These are peanut butter M&Ms. And he's got a quiff of peanut butter.
Where did you find those?
They're in Ireland.
Ah.
They are incredible.
I want them. Ireland, I'll travel for it.
Essential travel.
Yeah, it's food. I need food to survive. Survival is essential.
I'll bring you some back.
Russ, come on. Who's your most inappropriate crush?
Craig David. No. Lois Griffin. Didn't think nothing of it until there's one episode where she gets dressed up in like the BDSM gear, and I was like, okay, everyone leave the room now, please.
When was this, like last week or
about 6 months ago, maybe? It's been a long lockdown.
You know what's really pleasing is, Ross, you actually do look a bit like Quagmire. It just hit me that could be like your Quagmire, like giggity giggiting outside the bedroom looking at Lois. Like, this is so great.
You buy one bed that spins around and everyone calls you
Quagmire. I feel like I can say that, by the way, because I really look like Chris Griffin. So, like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
I don't agree with either
of them. The way I wear earrings, if I didn't wear these and put on a cap, you'd be like, what the fuck?
Well, I'm just going to spin this and collect my thoughts.
I think we're doing super well, team.
Oh my God, so well.
Can I grab a beer before we do this? Can I be 2 seconds?
Yeah, go for it. While he's doing that, you think about your favourite conspiracy theories. Either the best one you've ever heard, the worst one you've ever heard. I've mentioned this on the podcast, so I'm not giving away any gold that we have to cut out. I was on a magnetic eyelash forum and they were talking about why they wouldn't get the vaccine. A magnetic eyelash forum. They were literally putting iron filings in their eyes, worrying that COVID had not been tested enough. I was like, girls, we're putting iron filings in our literal eyes.
God fucking bless us. Bless us. We can be such dumb bitches, man.
Huns. There was a lot of Hun energy in that group.
Love Hun.
Oh, they're not being funny, girls. They haven't been tested. You could lose an eye.
Yeah, but in the name of looking fit, like, it's so hard to figure out, like, what's more important. Do you know what
I was on there because I basically glued my eyes shut. I was like, how do we get this off?
You know the first rule of eyelash glue? You can no longer blink.
Yeah. I couldn't blink. I couldn't open my eye. It was very problematic. Anyway, Maff's back. We're talking about conspiracy theories. And Helen, you can start.
I mean, I am someone who will laugh at a conspiracy theory and then immediately believe it to be entirely true. Like, I spent years being like, people believe the Earth's flat. What fucking losers? And then I was in a bath and I was like, but if it is, what's underneath it? Like, that level of, like, sick. I've decided it's sand, by the way. But then, the most intense conspiracy theory for me, because I feel like I might have had something to do with it, was 31st of August, 1997. You guys will know it as Diana's death day.
Okay, yeah.
I will refer to it as the day that I think I might have played a part in Diana's death.
Okay.
Don't laugh. This could be serious.
Okay.
We will hear evidence.
I was on a family holiday in France with not just my nan, but other family members as well, because it's weird just to go with one grandparent.
Math didn't go with just one grandparent. To be clear, his granddad was there as well.
Okay, that makes it fine then, doesn't it? Yeah, God, we'd like to take back all our comments from before. I'm
going to say... I'm going to give Matt a point there.
What? No, why does he get a point? For being a loser?
Hey, he was doing international travel with his grandparents.
I went to a Japanese prisoner of war camp with my parents.
And that is in your mind somehow better. Okay. Yes. So it's Princess Diana's death day.
But I was like two streets away from where she died in that tunnel, staying at a hotel. And I was a sleepwalker at the time. And because, as we famously know, the Queen killed her because she was having a Muslim baby. Fact. And all the cameras were turned off, so we couldn't see down the tunnel. There were 20 cameras around and on the tunnel that night. They all turned off. The one they needed to get that particular image turned off 20 minutes before the collision happened. No one has yet disproved that wasn't an English child walking through the tunnel in her pajamas, confused and lost on the street of Paris. And Diana loved kids, and they swerved, and then she died, and I survived. And that is literally the Queen calling now.
Do you know?
Be like, I didn't even know she was having a Muslim baby. She fucking did. She did.
Sorry about that. That was my fault. I didn't mean to interrupt that. Absolutely.
It was it.
Craig David.
You ain't going to believe who it was. Genuinely,
it's Craig David. Oh my God.
It was Scott Robinson from Five.
Five will make you get down.
Talk to us more about this, please.
Call him back.
I should call him back, shouldn't I? I don't know what he wants. I work with him. I do a radio show and he does the drive time show. And I don't know why he's ringing me, but he's ringing me.
Well, it's won you a point.
Come on. Cheers, Scott.
See the one with the twisty 90s hair, I think.
Yeah, he used to have that. He's not anymore. Still got the blonde bits.
Because I've got Mark from A1 coming on in a couple of weeks to do the podcast.
Have you? Yeah. I'll get Scott on for you.
You should. Oh, they should be on the same episode.
Like that, they'll fight.
Over Zoom, it would be amazing. Bad for them, great for me.
Please get them both on. That'll be so life changing.
I don't know if I'd ever recover.
Get Patty Kenzie on it as well.
Get Kenzie on.
Patty Kenzie, I said. Well, that's fine. That's funny.
Wait, do you know Kenzie?
No, I tell you, I do know.
This is the weirdest name dropping ever. Yes. Yeah.
I do know Richard Drummy from Go West.
What the fuck is happening?
He comes to Kingston every week. Well, it's on anyway.
To see the comedy or just hang around town?
No, just to hang about outside. So
just loves you.
Yeah, he comes every week.
Well, Helen, who's your celeb on your phone?
I mean, I've served people drinks, and I once gave a cigarette to Steve Coogan.
That's pretty cool.
Solicited, or did you just...
He went, oh, can I have a cigarette? And I went, yes. And then was just like going through every Alan Partridge quote, being like, don't say one. Like, it was very stressful for me.
Did you resist?
I did. I just resisted.
I'm so
but
proud of you.
Number. We're not mates. I don't have any famous people number. Oh, man.
Well, you know what you've got to do next. Wow. Well, what a segue away from conspiracy theories and Helen's belief that she was somehow part of Princess Diana's death.
I know, but now I'm such a weirdo with conspiracy theories. I'm like, why did that conversation move on so quickly? Why was I being distracted away from it? Do you know what I mean? It's my same theory that I have that I'm in the Truman Show. Because then whenever I say it, people go quiet because obviously they're thinking, no, she's not. But then it just makes me think more so that you're actors and you're panicking because I figured it out and that you don't know what to do live on the stream. It's too much. I don't think I'm mentally well, am I?
It's been a long year, isn't it, basically. So the next time you get asked this category, Helen Bauer will be your story, but today, what is it?
Me or Ross?
Either of you, jump in.
One I heard the other day, which I think is a belter, and so basically, have any of you guys had your vaccines yet? You're probably too young, aren't you?
No. No to not having the vaccine, but also I think I'm about on the threshold for it to be an option for me. I'm excited.
The first one about a month ago. And the theory that I heard was that people that get ill from having the vaccine, so like next 24 hours, 48 hours, you sort of get a mild dose of COVID, means you've actually had COVID and it's just bringing it back out. So if you don't have any side effects from the vaccine, it means you've never had the COVID.
It's almost plausible, isn't it?
It does sound plausible, but I'm sure it's a load of bollocks. It's got to be, isn't it?
Is it? Because I heard that and I just believed it.
Why would you say something like that to Helen? Look at her face.
It's one I heard and I thought, like, same as you, Helen. I went, that sounds very plausible because I think I had it very early on. And then when I had the vaccine, I was ill for 48 hours.
Well, it feels too boring for someone to make up, doesn't it?
Well, my mate that we were at the same time, he hasn't had COVID and he didn't have any side effects. So,
proven. I mean, that's proven.
That's proven in the party of two, isn't it? I mean, that's enough research, isn't it?
That's enough to go to press with, I reckon, based on some of the stuff I've read.
Yeah.
I do PR. It's a day job. I go with that. I publish it. Oh, I've done some terrible studies in my time as a PR person. It's like a sample size of 7 and you're like, the whole of Northern Ireland have never heard of Philip Schofield. He's on 7 people.
That counts.
Well, it does. As long as you've got 2,000 respondents overall, that's enough to go to press with data, which is why you should never really believe anything that you read in the paper. It's people like me put it there.
Yeah, that's what PR's for.
It's misinformation.
Yeah, you are ruining my childlike sense of belief in the world. This is horrible.
Oh, sorry. Ross, what about you?
People in Northern Ireland do know about Philip Schofield then.
I hope so.
Thank God, yeah. Well, you type, yeah.
It'd be terrible, wouldn't it? Imagine missing out on Pisco. Gutted. What a life.
Oh, is that a PR term for Philip Schofield? Is that his code name?
That's what my mum calls him.
Lemon Grinder.
I thought it was adorable.
It's just a lovely nickname I've got for him. He doesn't know about it.
I don't think he wants to know either, to be honest with you.
Probably not. He's certainly not DMing me back about it. Ross, anyway, do you believe any conspiracy theory that you think has the ring of truth? What do you reckon?
A little while ago, I listened to the Joe Rogan podcast.
I mean, that was your first mistake.
Yeah, I mean, usually with a pinch of salt. But I listened to the Elon Musk interview on there. The first one. He's done two now. I listened to the first one. And he was, you know, he knows his stuff, doesn't he, Elon Musk? He's a modern day genius, really.
Well, he's a supervillain, is what he is.
A supervillain. Well, this is my point. So he thinks that eventually robots will rule the world, essentially, because we'll be able to download our brains into a computer. Yeah. And we're already creating these incredible robots, but what's going to happen is you'll end up giving them freedom of thought, and then the robots will decide that we're just useless pissing shitting machines, even in urinals front ways as a female.
I mean, that's not useless. That's resourceful and sexy.
Yeah. Agreed.
Women can do anything, actually, Ross.
Yeah. Not, I believe it. It's a niche Pornhub search, but it is there. I can't.
there's an audience for everything.
because he said it. Like, I don't really believe in conspiracy theories, you know, actively anyway. You know, I believe that most things are probably bullshit and that's the best way to live. But after listening to that podcast, I was fucking terrified, man. I didn't use a self-service checkout for like 6 weeks afterwards. Anything with a slightly robotic voice. And I'm just completely, yeah, scared shitless. Yeah, so that's the only thing. I do believe that robots will take over the world. I also believe that aliens exist. And that's about as far as it goes.
I think it's more rational to believe that they do rather than to believe that we are the best that the universe could do. I mean, no disrespect to us, but we're quite shit.
Also, we know there are aliens because they had an alien encounter in Spice World the movie and they weren't in the credits.
What, so your theory is they weren't played by actors, real aliens were hired?
It's not a theory, it's true.
Okay.
Don't come at me.
I mean, I want a podcast of just your theories. They're not conspiracies, they're just truths. Hello, that is truths.
The thick girl who breathes through her mouth says what she thinks. I think everything's real. Hi. It's so bad.
Well, outstanding scenes. Right, okay. We've got time for one more category. Unpopular opinions. It's my favourite.
I mean, probably that the Queen was killed Diana because she was having a Muslim baby.
I don't think that opinion is unpopular. It's not founded in any robust evidence, but I think there's an audience for it.
I love Big Bang Theory.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I watch Big Bang Theory.
In comedy, that is like the worst thing you can say to another comedian. I don't admit it. If anyone, when they're talking about how shit it is, I agree with them. But
you haven't got the courage of your convictions.
I love it. And, you know, I'd appreciate it if this didn't make the edit, if I'm honest.
No, Ross, I'm actually going to stand by you here because I watched the whole thing and I put it in my Instagram stories after I was doing stand-up and then I got comedians messaging being like, you should watch this instead. This is shit. And it's like, have you even seen it, though? Do you know if it's shit or not?
I can't stand people who try to reverse engineer your own experience. So like, no, you couldn't have possibly found that funny. It's, well, how come I did, though? You can't change my mind. It felt like that when I said I enjoyed Suicide Squad and loads of people on the internet told me I didn't. And I was like, how do you know? Very basic. Margot Robbie looks amazing. So, you know, why can't we all just enjoy what we enjoy? But
I'm saying I think Monty Python's absolute shit.
Whoa.
Again.
I think Life of Brian is brilliant, but yeah. I think the series is absolute dog shit.
This is like, Ross was like, what are you going to do? You're going to use any of the video? And I'm going to cut this whole thing. I'm going to drop it in Comedy Collective and I'm going to see what happens.
No, but can I get an extra point because I know why the series is shit?
Mm. Well, tell us and we'll see if we agree.
So I agree with you. The series, apart from a very few sketches that get plucked out, is in general shit because it was written weekly and then put out that week. So they're making very specific satirical comments, which we just wouldn't know.
Right.
Because it's based on literally that week's news. because, like, I love the films. So then I got myself, like, a DVD box set of Flying Circus. And I was like, this is unwatchable. But it's because I don't fucking get it, because you have to have been living in that time. So can I have a point, please? It's getting a bit sad now, isn't it?
I don't know that's how they made it, but you're right. Because maybe three sketches, the rest of it is rubbish. So you've got the parrot sketch, which even goes on too long. Let's be honest.
The argument clinic's good.
Don't know that one.
Ministry of Silly Walks is classic.
Yeah.
Or the Four Yorkshiremen.
Four Yorkshiremen. Okay, and that's it, right?
Ross wants to be too cool to defend it, but you can tell he's upset.
I
think the problem that you've got is that you haven't watched it with enough marijuana in your body. I think it is a lot more palatable when you are stoned. I will go out and say that.
I wouldn't disagree with that, I suppose. Yeah.
Any more unpopular opinions? Because we've gone very specific to comedy. But before I close the shop, you don't know what the points are. Just saying.
Yeah. Just trying
to think what is a popular opinion that I can pretend to be against for the sake of this.
That's not how it works.
Okay, all right.
Be your authentic self, Helen. It's enough.
Is it though?
It is enough.
Can you give us an example of previous
that'll be really useful.
And then we can just piggyback off the back of that and you can edit this in.
There's been a real range. Alice Fraser hated emojis. Robin Ince didn't like the film Mean Girls. I can't remember what Rich Wilson said, that it was abhorrent. As you well can imagine. He also had some brilliant stories from Wish Job.
Oh, I've always thought I'd enjoy living in a cult because I wouldn't have to worry about, like, council tax and pensions and stuff. I always thought, well, it'll all be taken care of, then they'll just kill you towards the end. And I always thought that seemed quite relaxing.
But the quality of life until you are killed.
Yeah, I just think it's nice not to have to really, like, plan anything because they sort of do everything for you. Like a big baby with no thoughts. I want to be a big stupid baby.
ironically, that is what happened to Princess Diana as well.
You take that back!
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, because babies walk through landmines twice to get the right photo. Come on!
I love it. You're defending it, but also very self-aware. Unbelievably, we've come to the end of the game. So let's go round and talk about what we're doing and where we can find you, because I'm sure people are dying to hear more of all of these hot takes. So we'll start with Math. What are you doing with yourself at the moment?
Literally nothing. It's that time of, because we had a load of gigs booked from April 12th, but I'm sure we all did. And I had literally a full diary from the 12th right the way through to maybe July, August. And they changed the rules and made them up just from not even doing any research whatsoever. So we haven't got any gigs till 17th of May. So we've done a few Zoom gigs. We're going to probably have one more Zoom gig, hopefully to say goodbye to that. And that will probably be the Monday before the first Mock the Week record, which is on the Eid.
Ooh, what's the clang of Mock the Week?
I'm not on it. I'm sub again for every fucking episode. Which means I have to write for 5 days, but then just throw all that fucking work in the bin because I don't get on because somebody's not well.
Who do we have to kill to get you on?
It doesn't matter, any one of them, just not Dara.
I know what it's like to be a spare act, Matt.
There you go. But other than that, so we'll be gigging again from the 17th of May. So it's just at Math Brown and on Instagram and Twitter. Maybe more Instagram than anything else if you that really asked.
Cool. And Helen, what about you? Where can we find you? What are you doing with yourself?
Similar to Math, but I'm going to be continuing to do gigless online with Catherine Beaumont.
Yay!
So we're going to, like, keep it going. We've got one live date coming up, and we're going to see how that goes. And then I've got a podcast with Rosie Jones called Daddy Look At Me, which should be coming back for season 5 soon. And then, but just follow me online because everything's on there. It's just at Helen Berbauer, B A B-A-U-E-R, because there's another Helen Bauer. But follow her. She's
who is she? Time.
She's, this is so weird. She obviously, she's German, like Helen Bauer, like so German. Yeah. She lives in Berlin, but she always forwards everything to me unless it's insulting. And she's really cute. And then, because obviously I lived in Germany, I started doing stand up there. She comes to shows now whenever I go back.
Yeah, so, oh, that's a lovely really story.
Cool. Yeah, I went to Berlin last summer. Yeah, not last summer.
No, you didn't. Not last summer.
Yeah, not last summer. But the we did this little tour thing on Segways, and we went past two purpose built comedy clubs.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Should have known.
Amsterdam was one of my favourite gigs to do. They loved it, and I didn't know if they'd get it because they looked quite stoic when I arrived, but they went mad for it. It was a joy. Mm. Can recommend Amsterdam.
And also, Ross, you say you've quit smoking. If you go gig in Berlin, you can still smoke in the audience and on stage at some of the shows.
So you could just passively enjoy the old times.
When I started, I'd smoke on stage to have pure nerves, and I've got to go outside the venue, and it's a nightmare.
And Ross, what are you doing? Summer fates.
Summer fates. Yeah. So, I'm doing some online gigs as well with Russell Kane. We've been doing them since January, raising money for Rethink Mental Illness, which is obviously a charity that's a lot more, you know, important now. So with all the lockdown and everything, so it's been fun to do those. We've got one more on Sunday. May or may not be the last one, depending on where the gigs start up again. I run gigs as well around the Essex area. We are currently putting on Little Smash's Village Fate in a small garden somewhere with Comedy Tombola and Bat the Rat, and I mean, you know, right between the lines.
Jumble. There's bric-a-brac everywhere.
Yeah.
All the stall holds have got type five.
Can't move for bric-a-brac in Essex, mate.
Sounds like a drug cartel front to me, mate.
Prohibition era comedy, this is. I love
ironically,
it.
Comedy is as illegal as a drug cartel.
Yeah, very true.
50 people in a beer garden, give one of a microphone. Illegal, apparently. So we're doing it a cappella, no microphone, no music. And then gigs will continue hopefully after everything, you know, there'll be gigs happening. But I'm on Instagram, the Ross McGrain. I'm on Twitter, Ross McGrain, and Facebook and all that gubbins. And I'm on the radio as well, if you're in the Essex area.
With Scott Robinson from Vibe.
Yeah, well, he's on the other show. He's on the more popular show.
I'm adjacent. On the
weekend breakfast we're on.
Vibe adjacent. Well, this was an extraordinary game in a lot of senses. Helen, you absolutely romped victory with 23 points. What? So that's a high scoring round.
I thought I had no points until I begged for one at the end.
No. It requires me to find it funny or interesting. And I found your views funny and interesting and disturbing. But
fuck you guys, I win.
And you guys were just languishing on 13 and 14. She ran away with it. Your girl loves an overshare.
Got a point for every inch of your labia.
Every single one.
There were points where I wasn't sure whether Helen was aware that we were human beings in real life.
Don't put ideas in her head. She's going to worry about that.
When the sun goes behind the cloud, I think there's a spotlight dipping sometimes. I'm a fucking psycho.
This has just reinforced the view that she's a star of her own film.
No, totally. I'd watch it all day.
Well, you're in it. What? I don't understand.
Thank you so much for playing. It has been unreal. Have been listening to Comedy Arcade, and you are all free to go. Thanks for listening to the Comedy Arcade. There'll be a new episode next Thursday with new balls and new guests. If you liked it, like us anywhere you can and subscribe and tell all your friends. Also, tell us. We're in all the usual places on all the social media. And if you didn't, this is reasons to be cheerful. Aren't you sorry you didn't pick Chaos with Ed Miliband now?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.